Sisterhood Through Grief podcast is comprised of a group of women who have lost their spouses and bonded during their time in a grief support group. We are not licensed therapists. Rather, we have endured and survived the journey of grief. During our podcast, we will share our stories of how we suffered, what we encountered and conquered during our journeys, and impart raw truths about grieving. As we learned in our group support, we will speak from the I space and always offer non-judgmental support and understanding to each other. We hope to offer our listeners compassionate support by providing empathy and validating one's grief. Knowing you are not alone and having someone who can say, "I know how you feel," will be our gift to our listeners to promote healing, offer hope, and ease pain. We always open our podcast by lighting a three-wick candle and reciting a short verse. So let me begin. This first wick is for the past and where we have been. This second wick is for the present and where we are now. This third wick is for the future and where we hope to be. This episode 24 of Sisterhood Through Grief, Traditions and the New Normal, is hosted by Amy, Christina, and Melanie.
So as we enter, we're coming up with the holiday season, with Halloween's kind of a, if you still have younger kids, Halloween's, you know, like a big holiday. Then we go on to Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. And depending on how far along you are in your grief, the first year is really hard because now you're missing your spouse and the kids are missing their dad or their mom. And, you know, you're afraid to do anything new because you don't want to lose touch with your loved one. And then, you know, keeping things old, you're trying to preserve his memory, their memory, but it can be very depressing. And I think sometimes you just have to kind of go with the flow. The kids will feed off of your emotions. You know, there's sometimes there's a lot of anticipatory anxiety for upcoming holidays and what to do. And I know sometimes I would just, my mind would be going 1,000 miles an hour and the holiday would get here and I felt like I wasn't prepared. I had a few gifts, but I think that with your grief and stuff too, it's hard to plan those first year holidays.
Yeah, I agree. I think the first year definitely sort of like, you know, you really have no idea what to do. You had this, you know, the thought that, oh, you should do everything the same way, like you said, to preserve the memory, but also that can be hard. You know, for me, one of the things that, you know, I'm laughing because Jeffrey would probably be like, oh my God, but one of the things I did change, I want to say the first year, and the kids were pretty young, so we never celebrated Christmas with Jeffrey, but my family celebrates Christmas. And so the first year, we still did Hanukkah, but then I added Christmas to the traditions. And I think it was nice because it was something new for them and something that wasn't around, you know, what happened, what we did last year or happened with Daddy. And it was something new for me and my family with my kids. So, and that actually went pretty smoothly. I mean, because it was such a fun thing. It wasn't. So, yes, I think introducing things and making little changes on your own time, you know, is important. Like I said, you know, it's really on your own time because you don't want to make a change and then, you know, have regrets or someone saying, oh, why aren't we doing it this way or that way?
I think it's okay to, you know, even take a break from some of your traditions, especially early on, you know, that first year, maybe not celebrate, maybe go on a cruise or, you know, go to Disney for Thanksgiving instead of doing your normal tradition, just to kind of have a year reset and then can revisit. I think something I also struggled with was family having expectations of maintaining traditions when I wasn't necessarily in a headspace for that. That was a struggle for me because they just wanted to kind of keep on like nothing, you know, let's do Thanksgiving like we always do. I just really wasn't in the mood to celebrate. And that was really hard for them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's why I said how it's hard because it brings up you know, painful memories. Mm-hmm. So I think it's tough. It's a fine line. Like, what do you keep? What don't you keep? Because when you do keep things, you know, and some people keep the traditions for a long time, and then you're always suffering. Like, I see some people who are like, you know, 10, 20 years out, and they're still doing things the way their spouse did it, because they're saying, oh, well, this is the way she wanted to do it. But I'm like looking at it, and it's like, well, okay. But, you know, so there's sort of a point where you've got to say, okay, when do I create a new normal or a new routine for myself? Because at what point is it not healthy or good to hold on to something for so long? You know, I mean, so it's tough. I mean, yes, definitely the first year you're trying to maintain normal that you had the year before. But going forward, you know, it's like, okay, when you introduce new things or new ways of doing things, even just driving to school a different way, or, you know, just it could be so small, but having a little change sometimes can change how you're feeling.
Right, gets you out of your rut. And then if you change your routine and your traditions, then you know, you have something to look forward to. It's not the same. It gives you something positive to look forward to with this holiday. I know a couple Christmases I took the kids to Disney with my family, and the kids had a blast. It was a little hard with that one parent thing and two young kids and waiting in all the lines. But, you know, it was Christmas, but, you know, it was different because the kids were playing and around other kids, and, you know, they enjoyed it. And we did that for a couple years. And then, you know, Friendsgiving for Thanksgiving, you know, I have some good friends that all came together, and those traditions have stayed on, those newer ones where we, and even Christmas too, it's more friends and family and not just that family where, you know, someone's missing. And I don't know if any of you guys ever did the missing, you know, the chair at the dinner table for your spouse. I never did. My son's getting married in May, and he wants, you know, like a seat for his dad or like a candle or something. And then like my dad really jumped in when, you know, Mike was killed. So, you know, now he wants two seats, and, you know, so it's, you know, and I was like, oh, we haven't done that the whole time, but it might be something very nice to do at your wedding.
And that's him starting his own traditions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's symbolic, you know, so for,
right.
You know, it's not, maybe it'll make him feel really good rather than be painful.
Right. And he wants, you know, the memory of his dad there. It's a big life milestone.
No, that's nice. But that, I think that's something we haven't talked about is, you know, when you do get to the point when you do something like that, and it isn't about the pain, but it's about, you know, honor and remembering.
Right.
In a good way. Do you know what I mean? It's like bittersweet, right?
I think those things are always going to be hard. I think graduations and any life milestone, marriages, grandbabies, all of those things, there's always going to be that piece that feels like it's missing, but it's not the ache that it is, that raw open wound that it is early on. So I think, you know, even if our spouses had lived, you know, traditions change over time and evolve. So, you know, I think it's okay to give yourself permission to hold on to some things, but also to let things go.
Yes.
You know, kids get older and, you know, they're different and they don't always want to, they're not waking up at 6 a.m. to open Christmas presents like they used to, you know, they're going to sleep till noon and, you know, or they're not living with you anymore and they show up with their significant others later in the day. You know, we're all in that later stages with our kids. So it's just kind of an evolving process. And I think sometimes it's easy to get stuck when somebody dies, to get stuck in the, this is the way we always did it. So we always need to do it that way.
Right.
And now you said we're older, and I look at, oh my gosh, there might be a holiday where my kids are elsewhere at their spouses' families. And, you know, like, oh my gosh, that's kind of scary for me, you know, a different chapter of the book. I mean, I would do stuff with friends, but, you know, life is always evolving and progressing. And so I think you have to kind of roll with the changes and kind of, there's, like we always say with grief, there's no right or wrong way to grieve and to make decisions. And, you know, sometimes what you feel is great this year might not be so good next year, you know, where you might have to change your tradition again or your routine.
Well, it's that whole process of moving forward. You know, you just try something new. You know, you guys went back to work, you started running, you did, you know, did things that you weren't doing before. You know, I got involved in different activities, volunteering, things that I had never done before. I think it was good for me to be able to do something that gave me, you know, self-worth and allow myself to feel good about myself without, you know, the codependency of a spouse. And so, you know, I think that's part of it too, is seeking out new things that might interest you that you didn't do before.
I think when you're younger and you have the younger kids, you don't have time to really think about what to do differently. You're just trying to make your kids happy and, you know, make them not be missing daddy or mommy, to make them just all about them and the holiday. And I know my kids are so spoiled because everyone would bring gifts all the time. They were like piles and piles of gifts, you know, which everyone wants to do. They want to show, you know, their love and support.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, we, you know, the first year, I think we celebrated Hanukkah and Christmas. But then, you know, as you might guess, after the years go by, it just sort of turned into Christmas.
Yeah.
Santa Claus is really cool. And, you know, yeah. Track Santa Claus, you can't, what do you do with Hanukkah?
Yeah.
Like candles. Tracking Santa Claus was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely tried to overcompensate too for the holidays to try and fill that void.
Yes.
I think for a long time, there were a lot of years definitely buying a lot of gifts that I probably couldn't afford, but trying to, you know, just keep them happy. So they were so focused on that they weren't thinking about what was missing. And that eventually, you know, shifted as the years went by. I think so much of it just shifts and you fall into a natural, that's the new normal. I mean, it's so hard to think of that in those early days.
Right. I think what helped me was changing location. You know, like when a holiday came up, I would go away, you know, just to get out of the house and the environment we were always in, you know, whether we would go skiing or something different was also really helpful because not that you don't want to remember the past, but, you know, you're, like we said, you're trying to create a new normal.
Yeah, we flew out a lot of times on Christmas Day or drove to Disney or something just to, yeah, to make it something different and fun and not so much about the gifts, but, you know, doing stuff together. And yeah, you know, as the kids got older, then they wanted to stay home more and do Christmas, you know, at home, but friends and family. And so that's, you know, some, like I said, you got to kind of go with the kids want to do with where the family is. And I always kept very close contact with my husband's family. So sometimes we would go and visit them, you know, take the kids and visit his family, which was always very nice.
I stayed very close with my in-laws. They're still, my parents died shortly after my husband. So my in-laws were my closest family. And I mean, they live in the same town and my mother-in-law actually was my son's math teacher. And so keeping those connections with my husband's family, I think, has really helped all of us have their family traditions as part of our lives. So I think for us, and we had lived away for so long, we didn't move back home until after he passed away. So a lot of the traditions he grew up with as a child, I was able to then kind of bring into my kids' lives. So that was kind of nice that they were things that they weren't necessarily things that we were doing as a family, but were able to do after he passed away. And then they could feel connected that way.
Are there any traditions that you guys have done like since after your husband's died that you thought was helpful or good with the kids? That I'm just trying to think, you know, for people who are trying to think of, you know, what they can do, if there's anything that we could help them with, just ideas or
I know for me, some of the, like when the kids were younger and some of those more quiet Christmases, I think getting the kids outside, throwing a football. And like you said, we always gave them way more toys than they needed, you know, playing with the toys outside, going to the park, talking to other people. You know, when you start to feel a little blue, just for me, it was like getting out of the house and taking a walk, or, you know, taking the dogs for a walk, taking pictures, kind of getting the, you know, when the mood gets kind of heavy, taking a break from everything and taking the pressure off.
I think taking the pressure off is huge, feeling that pressure to keep things the way they always were. But realizing a lot of our listeners don't have young kids and are, you know, might already have kids out of the house. So they're experiencing their loss for the first time without that, you know, we have that support of mm-hmm. support system of our children, or that distraction, or I don't know what I would call it, but not everybody has that. You know, some people don't have children, have grown children. So, you know, I think it's important you do something where, you know, travel someplace new, visit somebody new, go be someplace by yourself, something that you're just going to make you feel good without having to feel any sense of guilt because it's something different.
And even asking a friend what they're doing and, you know, planning a dinner if you can't leave town, or planning, you know, a couple just things to look forward to, little, you know, even coffee the day after Christmas or something, just give yourself things to look forward to, and taking care of yourself too. It's a stressful time either way, but just trying to plan little self-care things, go get a pedicure or something, a walk, just get out and talk to other people.
Yeah, because it's hard. It's hard when you're grieving to try and think of something that makes you happy. You know, it sounds so crazy, but, you know, you think, what could I do that's going to make me happy? And so I think you just have to, like you said, just try different things out. Like you said, get a manicure or go for a walk or meditate or, you know, go for a run, meet up with a friend. Just trying to find something to change the way you're feeling.
I think, you know, that's a time when we say, you know, all those people who reach out and say, if you need anything, let me know. This is a time where you can reach out to the people that people want to help. People want to be there for you. And I mean, I personally am not good at seeking help. So, you know, that's to this day a problem of mine where I don't like to ask for support. But maybe that's a time when you reach out and be like, can I, you know, can we do something? And maybe sometimes you just want to be alone. You don't want to be with other right. family members because you don't want to be with other family or other families, you know. So, you know, it's okay to not feel that you have to do something.
Right. We did a couple times. We volunteered at the food bank and we went and decorated less fortunate people's houses, like other kids' bedrooms and stuff, a couple Christmases, which was, you know, it's fun for the kids to see the way other people live, even like with their, you know, their mother and their father and a full family, you know, people still need help at different times. And so that took some pressure off, and then the kids feeling good about helping somebody else. And, you know, we really gained a lot from doing that too, instead of sitting at home and feeling sorry for ourselves, which, I mean, that's normal too, but.
Yeah, because I agree with you. So, you know, that's sort of what I did. You know, I started doing a lot of volunteer, especially with children, and you know, it's rewarding. And so it gives you, it's a good feeling. And it's time you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about has different problems than you. So I thought, you know, that was definitely very helpful. It got me out of my space, my own, and it allowed me to think about someone else and just be in their world for a while. It was really helpful.
Because grief is it's very selfish. I mean, you know, you don't mean to be, but I mean, all you can see, especially if it's new, and even later on, it's still, you see your own world and your loss. And you don't always see everyone else's too. And sometimes everything else doesn't equate to your loss. But, you know, there's a lot of people, unfortunately, suffering in the world and, you know, need people to reach out and ask for help and be a friend.
I guess that kind of covers it. If you all have any questions for us or have any ideas for topics, we'd love to hear from you. We've gotten some viewer feedback that really helps us kind of guide our conversations and things that we've forgotten about that really helps us revisit where we were, and hopefully that helps you. So feel free to reach out to us on our social media, Sisterhood Through Grief, and wishing you peace and comfort during these holiday seasons.